What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I made it back. Thanks for having me here on the pop. You know, at this point, I'm another year older, another year...
wiser?
Here.
Yeah, you're officially, as of yesterday, 36 years old?
Yes, that is correct. I'm 36 years old now, Ben. Just popping it, living my best pop over here.
Did you know that that's my favorite number?
I did know.
It
do
is.
You feel like this is like a golden year for me?
I sort of do. Ooh, I feel like, I mean, I've exciting. Like, you know, it's, I'm actually quite pleased that 36 happens to be my favorite number, because as I draw nearer to being on the backside of my 30s,
yeah,
I will at least for the first year of it, similar to your position,
right,
be able to celebrate and bask in the glory that is the fact that I'm my favorite numbers years old.
Right, favorite numbers years old.
Yeah, favorite number years old.
There you go. That's pretty good. Yeah. So, because 36, like, it doesn't really feel like much different than 35. I didn't wake up like, oh boy, you know. It was really just another day for the most part.
Of course, yeah. Which is, I mean, that is how it seems to feel as you get older. I mean, birthdays become, they seemingly less and less important,
right,
minus like your major decades.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe your mid-decades in there. There is, 36, I think, does hold like a certain distinction that certainly when you turn 30, it's like, oh boy, you're in your 30s now, you know. You can't kid yourself that you're still 20 because you're in your 30s. You're there.
Sure,
you've
sure.
You've arrived. But you're at least still in the front half of the 30s, you know? So this is like, okay, now we're really on the back end of the 30s, like officially.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So there's that. It does feel like you're like a real adult, you know? 36 is you are for sure an adult at this point.
I still call
I
mom
guess.
And dad for advice all the
I
time.
Know, I
yeah,
know, I know.
Yeah. So, but like what's interesting to me is that I feel like it has taken me just about halfway through my 30s to finally feel like I have some idea of what actually defines somebody existing inside of their 20s. Like when I was in my 20s, I was like, everybody's doing different stuff. Like everybody has completely different paths or at different places. Like, you know, some people decided to get like, you know, married early or have kids at this age or not have kids at all. Or, you know, they progressed in their career really fast, or these were like late bloomers in this way. Or, you know,
yeah,
like these people went and explored the world, you know, like
right,
use this time. Like everybody in my head was using it in like such different ways. But now that I feel like I have like stepped back a little bit from it, I feel like, or as I've gotten like further away from it, it has become much more obvious. I feel like your 20s are such like they are the true coming of age. Like people refer to like high school or like college as like coming of age years, and
yeah,
they are in their own way.
They are. I mean, you're being prepared to go basically, you know, into your 20s, into adulthood.
Yes,
as it were. Yeah.
But 20s to me, the era of your 20s are like a period of time to me where you're starting to like, because when you go to college, you can make decisions for yourself. I mean, you're officially, legally, you know, an adult human being and
yeah,
stuff. But like, I still think there's like some degree of like, you know, potential like reliance. Like it's not, it doesn't feel necessarily like you're full blown in it. But once you have like your own job and your own place and you're like your friend group and your hobbies and your activities, and like you're starting to like kind of get like a feel for like when left to their own devices, what does this person do?
Right.
You know,
yeah, like they've got the freedom. What will they do with it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think, so that is the common thread, is that I feel like the 20s is like when you get like a good idea of like what people want to do when they are getting to like make the decision for themselves.
Right.
You know? And so then now I'm kind of curious, like entering into the 30s, like what do you think we will, like, as two people who are now, I'm 34, you are now 36.
Yeah.
I'll turn 35 this year. Do you feel like there is something else like that will mark this decade?
I think it's probably kids more than anything.
You think so? Yeah. I mean, for
so.
Us especially.
Especially. I think, and but as to zoom out, like maybe one layer for people who don't have kids, then it's like, you're right. Like you made a bunch of decisions in your 20s, and then your 30s, I think, is you like...
you live in them.
Yeah, it's like now you're living in all of those decisions. All the things you decided back then, now those seeds have sprouted out of the ground, and now you really have to like tend to them. So I think it's like the time when you're really falling into like the the routine. It's like, okay, back then you were deciding how things were going to be. Now things are.
Yeah.
So now you are like figuring out how to excel the best in the environment you have created for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think cause you know, you're again, going back to your 20s, it's like, it seems like a time of lots of firsts, you know, yeah. Like there's a lot of that going on. And, mm-hmm. You know, from like a dopamine fix perspective, it's hard to realize, I think, through your 20s, how much, these events and instances and like how much those major firsts might be for you. Like speaking personally, you know, it's like going through and, you know, like buying like the first house, having like your career start to take some version of like stability, first jobs,
right.
You know, like meeting the person you're going to, you know, be with forever, getting engaged, getting married. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's all these like really big occasions that then have like a lot of accompanying like events around them, like showers and yeah. You know, bachelor parties,
yeah,
and
weddings
and, yeah.
Yeah.
Like lots of, you know, so it's like lots of like big bumps. And then like once you like roll into this next phase, it's sort of like you're kind of like looking to like keep things as like stable is sort of like the way that I feel like my right. mind has shifted.
Well, I feel like when you're growing up too, a lot of the stuff that happens in your 20s is like the things you're like being told to be ready for, or that you're sort of preparing for like most of it, or that you've maybe dreamed are the days that are coming in your life. Like it's hard to imagine like past getting your first job or past getting married or past like as a kid, like I knew I want to grow up and get married and, you know, have a house and have kids. And it's like, it's easy to think of all those things as these big things. And then like once you have arrived with all those things, it's like when you were a kid, you didn't spend 20 years thinking about, I want to, you know, like what was 5 years past those events.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like this is where like for the most part, so many of like all of our favorite like movies and stories sort of conclude with that sentiment of like, and they lived happily ever after.
Right.
But like, why do we never see a film that is just happily ever after, which is like just simply watching people get up, go to work, go to their hobbies, go to picnics, get together with family, you know, do holidays, like,
right.
But like remove conflict from the equation.
Right.
You know, it's like those aren't really like the stories that people necessarily want to hear, but it's also like a very interesting part of your life to then live.
Right.
Because like, you know, in some capacity, like if you wanted to go through and end your story at any major like life moment where you wanted to like leave the reader, you know, sort of like left in wonderment about like what comes next.
Right.
You know, like let the reader do whatever they want, like fill in the blanks however they feel is necessary for what their version of, you know, happily ever after looks like.
Right.
But then, you know, once you're inside of it, like that becomes like your daily existence.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, it's so interesting. And, you know, it's its own wild ride, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that, this is just reminding me a lot of like the act of like even just having kids, where I think when, my experience has been that when someone gets pregnant, there is like all of like, you spend like 9 months, you know, getting ready for the baby to get here.
Yes.
Or
yep.
Whatever. But so much emphasis is put on the, like the act of, delivery.
Yes.
Like the,
yes.
Like so much of what people, you spend so much time like getting ready for like the act of just the baby like entering the world. And
yeah, like hour zero, basically.
Yeah, like hour zero, but like not near. And you know that, I mean, it definitely deserves some prep. It deserves your consideration. It's a lot happening.
It's momentous.
However, it also seems like that will come and go quickly. Whereas then you will have the baby and you will have the rest of that child's life to deal with as well. And it's like, you yeah. didn't, and suddenly you're like, why didn't I think about what to do with the baby?
Right.
Like, we were pregnant and we were concerned about the end of pregnancy, but not the taking care of the kid part so much.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Like not that you didn't go and, you know, make the nursery and buy the diapers and stuff, but suddenly you're like, wait, what do I do when it cries? You know, yeah. It's like, why didn't anyone talk to me about this? I feel like I wasted 9 months.
Right. Right. You know? Yes. Yeah. And then on the other end, end of your argument here as well would be, which I agree with, because I definitely went through like a lot of the same things, but you know, because we had like, you know, Addison's nursery ready for her basically like from the moment she came home from the hospital.
Right.
Then she slept in our room with us for 4 months.
Also that,
you know, so it's like, it was such a big deal. It's like, okay, we have to have the crib assembled and we want to have like a sheet on the mattress and we want like the changing table, like packed with all the stuff and her closet with all of her clothes neatly hung up. And it's like, we almost didn't use the nursery shy of the changing table when we happened to be upstairs, but we also had a changing table downstairs,
right,
that we used for almost everything else because that's where we live.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's true too.
So it was just funny because, you know, you put so much effort into that end of the spectrum. But then the other one for me was almost like the flip side, which was that like, I was so excited because like, oh my God, like I'm going to have a child. I'm going to have like a person in my life who like, I can like show all of these things that like I grew up loving. And like, yeah, I can't wait to like share those experiences and like, you know, go kick a soccer ball in the yard and like teach them to like cast a fishing pole or like go, you know, kayaking, skiing, scuba diving, you know, like all right, these like
all the things,
but it's also like, okay, they're not going to be old enough to do those things for a while.
Right. Turns out your newborn infant sucks at everything.
Yeah. Apparently. Yeah. What's up with that?
Jeez.
I know. Prodigies?
Come on.
Yeah. No. But, you know, so then in the meantime, yeah, it's like you're trying to then develop your kind of like way of gameplay with them based on like, you know, what they're now capable of in any stretch of time, all of which is also constantly changing.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like for like the first year or whatever, it's like you're doing all this like tummy time and like, you know, these, yes, like little ways like to like try to like get
their neck muscles and stuff like that. Yeah,
exactly. So it's like playing with them might be like, you know, holding a stuffed animal while they lay on their back and just like having them track the object back and forth as you move it from side to side and right, see if their eyes can stay with it. And then, you know, like Addie now is like, she's at a point where she's like got some imagination and like, you know, she's got like a little like tea party set, for example. So like, she'll be like, you know, she'll go and grab, we have this like little round floral suitcase thing that has all of her like little teacups in it and stuff.
Yeah.
And she'll say like, let's go have a party.
Right.
You know, like, and so like, we'll go and we'll sit like at her like little table and like, we'll set the things up. But then she doesn't really know like anything else about like what your traditional tea party looks like.
Sure.
You know, so we basically just like continuously sip cups.
Yeah. That's all she wants. Nah,
I take a sip, she takes a sip. Sip, 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 sip. You right. It's like, okay, now what do we do?
Yeah.
You know, but it's like,
but is she just grinning ear to ear the whole time?
She's pretty jazzed about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, so that's all that matters. You know?
I know. There's sometimes where it's like you, the adult, knows what like skipping to the end will look like, where it's like, okay, right, so we skip, but you know what else we should do? We should get some bears in here. We should have some conversations. We should serve some imaginary biscuits. You know, what do you think about all these things? And it's like, doesn't matter to them.
Right, you know? Right. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, because they're still just basically like recognizing enough about like the basic mechanics that they have witnessed in life so far. And that's about as far as like, you know, her little imagination goes.
Yes.
At this point. So, you know, it's slow, but also constantly changing.
I know. There is just like this, like, yeah, it's interesting watching. Like, so Luke has been doing basketball for this last month or so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it has been so interesting watching how it's gone. Cause we've only been, I think they've had 3 games total, but maybe we've only been to like 2 because of our, cruise.
Okay.
So, or maybe we missed 2. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But like in the, you know, it's not, we have like a little basketball hoop at the house, like a little like Fisher Price one.
Right.
And, you know, he's, you know, thrown stuff at that for his whole life. He's, you know, known it existed and sometimes he'll go down and play with it and sometimes he won't. And, you know, sometimes they'll turn it into a whole different game or,
right,
you know, it's just, you know, but it's like, he's not been completely unaware of like what you do with the ball and the hoop.
Right.
But, and you know, he's seen dribbling and he's like tried it before and then he'll go to practice and you could tell like the first night he was just like very hesitant to like even join in on the practice. And then the second night of practice, he was like way more into it, just like excited to get out there. But then we got to the first game and you could tell like, and I mean, it's a lot because like, and it's like, it's so weird what you consider a lot. Because like I went in there and, you know, having you and Tyler as brothers and having played rec sports my whole life, you know, I've been to, you know, over 1,000 rec league sports games
of some kind,
you know, of some kind. Like I know exactly how it works, even if I haven't been in 15 years,
right?
Like nothing about it is surprising to me at all. Like, yes, those are the benches, we sit here, you know, everything about it is very like familiar feeling to me. But like Beth didn't do like any rec sports. So she came with us this past weekend and she was looking around. She's just like, Like I was confused looking at her because she looked like she was just like, I don't know if I tell you where to go. Or like I couldn't like get my bearings. And I was just like, what do you mean?
Like, so we sit there, they play there.
Yeah, we sit here, they play there. The buzzer goes. They see, like, what are you talking about? There's no bearings to be had. It's super obvious.
Right.
Yeah.
But that is like through the lens of somebody who has had so much experience with exactly this thing.
And it's like, and Beth is still an adult who has been to many other, you know, events of any kind.
Yeah.
And you know, she's still sort of like, are we in the right spot? Are we, you know, it's like, is this good? And then, so then I can only imagine like what it's like for Luke, who has, you know, this is his second time being in this environment at all.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like for him, it's everything is just like, whoa, much less try. Like the environment is stimulating beyond just, also, I have to play a game.
Right. You know? I know. And this is kind of funny too, because like, I think sometimes I take my own personal experiences and like project them onto like professional athletes, mm-hmm. or like a lot of times, like, you know, you'll see like Patrick Mahomes, you know, trotting on the field to try to like make a comeback win in the playoffs or whatever. And I'm like, I bet he's so nervous right now. I bet he's just like freaking out. And it's like, I think that like that is the difference between like a professional athlete. They have logged so many more hours, like, because, you know, like a lot of times like that, they like, they talk about like having like a short-term memory in like pro sports, because like maybe you'll like make a mistake and you have to get back onto the field and like not make a mistake, you know, don't fall victim to the black hole that is like the self-doubt because you threw an interception or something like that, or like, you know, missed a pass or dropped a ball or whatever, you know?
Right.
But then like they go out and they do it and they just pick right back up like as like where they always would. And it's like, oh yeah, okay. Cause they're not as nervous to be out there. They know they're exceptionally right. good at this.
They've done it. Yeah. Right. They're like, you know, they're looking at the game like we're in a bad spot, but it's, you know, this is what I have to do to win. So I guess that's what I'm going to go do.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Like, yeah. So it's like, but then on, you know, like for Luke, you know, it's like he's going in and he's, I don't know, like you're probably projecting like your own experience now, like onto the people around you, thinking like, oh, this all makes sense. Yeah. Like, I'm perfectly comfortable in this environment, without realizing like how much is just drinking from a fire hose for everybody else.
Yeah.
Which hilariously, the way you were just describing Beth being at the game almost reminded me exactly of how I felt stepping onto the cruise ship a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, no doubt.
Where, you know, it was the same thing. Like, you know, you're going into this environment. In my mind, it's like, this is a cruise. This is supposed to be like basically the pinnacle of relaxing, environments where it's like, I can't think of something that requires brain space less than a giant ship, where you're in like an enclosed area that's not, I mean, it's huge, but also not that big,
right?
Where there's obvious places to go and get your food, all of which is prepaid for, you know, it's right. Like all these things, it's like, it should be as simple as just sort of like, yeah, go here, do this, do that, you know, like whatever.
Right,
like still you get in and it's like everybody who's done it a bunch of times seems to know exactly what they're doing.
Right.
You know? And then meanwhile, I'm like, wait, where do we go? And when can we get into our rooms? And like, like, you know, the first thing we did was like walk to like one of the dining halls and had a meal.
Yeah.
And you know, I think for me, like of like walking into that dining hall, I didn't even realize we were going to be like allowed to eat like while we're still like at port. I was like, well, surely they'll wait until we like pull off before they like fire up the kitchens and stuff. And it's like, nope. You know, they're just cooking. They're ready to go. You know, they're ready for you.
There is immediately like a ton of learning, and it's like, you know, that's, you know, but, and you think there's an amount of prepping you can do for it. Like, you know, Beth was, you know, reading the blog. She was on the Facebook pages. She was on the, you know, in the groups,
yeah,
you know, asking questions, you know, had like a whole plan of attack, had like, you know, research what the rooms were going to look like and all that stuff. And, you know, it's still, it's like, you can do all the prep in the world and it's just like, what do we do?
Right.
Like, and
yes.
It's like you sometimes you just have to experience it to do it. And it's, you know, it's the, you know, we, it's like in Harry Potter where it's like, you know what? Like when they go to ride the brooms for the first time and like Hermione's tried to like textbook herself into it. And it's like, you can read all you want, but like it's never the same as just being on the broom, is it?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You just got to get that like actual experience. Like, you know, on the saddle, so to speak.
But so for Luke's first game ever, I remember he was just out there and you could tell he was just sort of like, I don't exactly know where to be, you know, like I think his first period of play, I think he moved like 4 feet back and forth, just sort of like over here. And this time it was like, you know, by the end of it, he tried to, you know, go for a few rebounds here or there. I don't think he did more than like pass the ball in his first game.
Sure.
You know, which was like totally fine. You know, it's just like, you know, you're just getting your bearings. And this time you could tell like he still wasn't, you know, he was very much more like, I've done it at least once before. So at least, you know, if the ball changed hands and everyone ran to the other side of the field, you know, he ran back and forth on the court, you know, probably 20 times, which was like, oh, at least you understand the crowd now. Like, I get it. We go down here. We go down there. We go down here. So it's like, like so like paralyzed by the stimulation that like, I don't know how to move kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. So then the next question that we could maybe take like Luke's experience with and like extrapolate into more of like, you know, this grown world that we now exist in is almost like, this is almost the exact concept behind broadening your horizons.
Yeah.
Like basically experimenting in life and taking yourself and like pushing your comfort zone. Like if you can imagine you exist inside of like this kind of a bubble where the perimeter of that bubble is your comfort zone. And it's sort of like, as life goes on, what you need to be doing is going and like occasionally pushing out on those edges,
yeah,
and seeing what it shows you about like what you are capable of, and with the knowledge of what you're capable of, like what doors are opened in the process. Mm-hmm. Because this is sometimes like, I think, you know, like I was sort of saying, like, you know, you get into your 30s, you've gone through all these firsts, you've done all these things, you kind of find your rhythm, and then you kind of go and like live like a daily existence. But I think like the big challenge for yourself once you reach like that stage of sort of like, okay, now I'm like in the routine. Now I'm doing like the day in, the day out. Like I go to these places, I eat at these restaurants, I call these people, like I know like the players, I know the environment, I know everything.
Yeah.
But like I think this is where it can be very easy to settle in and not challenge that perimeter anymore. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, if you're Luke, it's kind of like he goes to the first game and let's say he's walking. I mean, you can use the bubble example again. He had like a 5-foot radius he was willing to exist within. Like,
right.
You know, I'll stand like a little bit more. So this is the jump ball, you know, at the beginning of basketball.
Yeah.
Big circle in the middle of the court. It would almost be like, I'm not going to leave the big circle. I'm comfortable inside the big circle.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then it would almost be like, you know, second game, it's like, okay, I'm going to go from one edge of the 3-point line to one edge of the 3-point line. Like, that's my new horizon.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but that means that like any time that the ball doesn't happen to exist in that 30% space of the court, you're not going to have any way to interact with it because you're not willing to like step outside of those those boundaries. And so like, you know, week in, week out, maybe it gets to the point where the entire court becomes unlocked for Luke, and now all of a sudden it's sort of like, you know, as a player on the court itself, it's like, okay, I'm starting to like put the pieces of this puzzle together a little bit, and I'm starting to understand like, okay, I can run from here to there, but also like that spot over there, even though I'm allowed to go there, there's no real need for me to be there because this, like, you know, player five is in that position instead.
It's like, to me, it's like, yeah, it's you know, it's, there's always, and in the meantime, there are certainly kids out there who clearly know exactly how basketball works and is good at it and are taking, you know, jump shots and making them. And you're like, goodness.
Yeah. When you sent me a video from his game over the weekend and I saw somebody like make a basket.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but in my head I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They make shots. Like, you know, and like in my head, I was like, surely they're not going and chasing a ball back and forth for 30 minutes and never actually achieving the game of basketball, which is to put the ball through the hoop.
Right.
But like, also when I saw somebody made a shot, I was like, well, that was the most miraculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
But like, it also sort of is too. It's like, I mean, most of the shots are, you know, right beneath the basket. Someone throws it up, it, you know, it bounces around and it goes in. And it's like, it almost does not matter which team scored, which kid scored. Like, you can just tell everyone in the crowd is so excited that kid made a basket.
Yes,
like,
yes, yeah.
Like, you did it. Oh my God. Amazing. Just what, like, everyone's proud of everyone, which is a really good environment, I think.
Yes.
But they're, you know, it's like, you have kids like Luke who, like, I feel like maybe that, so, like, who are, you know, just acclimating to the environment, and then other kids who like maybe have had brothers or sisters who have done this before and they've like watched a lot or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is like maybe because we brought Nick and Nate to this last one, so I'm very curious, like, if they come to a bunch of games and just like watch Luke do it a bunch, then like if and when it's their turn, are they just going to be like, yeah, I much more have my bearings from the start?
Yeah. And even that's like kind of hard to say sometimes, because like I think as a kid watching you grow up before me, mm-hmm. it was almost like you were establishing like a line in the sand that like in my mind, it was like, most likely I can never pass that line because my older brother didn't past that line, mm-hmm. which was like my own personal like perspective. But it may like, you know, we talk about, let's see, like a scarcity mindset versus an abundance mindset. Yeah. And so like on one end of the spectrum, you might say like, okay, I went to games growing up watching my older brother played. He scored 6 points inside of a game, which proves that me as a member of this family being on that court doing this thing can score points on that stage. However, oftentimes I think what might happen to me was like, I was much more in like the mindset of like, well, Jay only ever scored 6 points, which means that I am only ever capable of scoring 6 points.
Right. Into, like that's the mountain.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's like, it would almost be like, okay, like now if I score two, it's like, well, I almost caught up with Jay, you know, like, right. Like with that incredibly high mark that was available. So some, like, it's weird because I guess I can see a world where like perspectives can dictate just about everything to do with sure. how something like this ultimately like plays out inside of somebody's mind. But the thinking would be that by simply going, by being present, by being a fly on the wall, by gaining that additional exposure, that you as an individual will be able to then further excel when it's your turn.
Yeah. It's very difficult. I remember that feeling too, oddly, that like I would go to these, like I remember being on the teams and like if I scored like, you know, 4 or 6 points a game, it would be like, wow, that was about as much as I'm allowed to score or something.
Right. You know, yes.
Like, you know, like it's not my position to be trying to score as many points as possible, you know, like, which is like stupid because why not?
Right. Yes.
And like, I know there was one year we had, I had a couple of pretty good like basketball coaches that were, you know, the play would be designed to get the ball to one of the forwards specifically to score. Like they were the one of the two people who was going to score, like based on how the play was designed. And that was usually my spot because I was usually like the second tallest person on the team. So okay. I wasn't the center, but then the forwards are the next tallest people normally.
Okay.
So lots of rebounds, lots of under the basket stuff. So like the ball would end up like, oh, it's going to end up over here. Then the center, they're going to turn around. You're going to be moving here. They're going to pass you the ball. You're going to score. Boom. That's how it's going to work.
Right.
Kind of thing. It's like even with those designs, I think if I scored like 6 points, it'd be like, wow, amazing day.
Yes.
But like the point totals for these games could end up in like the 50s or something, you know, by the time you get to like rec league. And so it was like, you did put the ball up sometimes and I'm sure that, and you know, that was really exciting, but it wasn't like I was a main scorer or anything.
Right. Yeah. Mostly what I remember from my days of basketball were that like when the ball did get to my hands and there was like some possibility of me launching it, any amount of practice, any amount of like shooting hoops in the driveway, anything like that basically went out the window, and I was just heaving the ball in the general direction of the hoop. And if it went in, amazing. If it missed, it'd be like, well, who's going to think less of me for that?
Right.
Like the pressure would overwhelm me so massively that it was just always like, Go! Maybe it'll go in.
Yeah.
It usually didn't. Well, 6 points. That was my cap.
There you go.
That's what I was capable of. But to go back to my other example, though, like I'd be curious, like to hear your thoughts. Like, is there anywhere inside of like your life now where you feel like it's important to be like attempting to like push boundaries, or have you ever pushed a boundary and found like that it revealed like a whole new world of potential or opportunity to you?
That is an interesting question. The thing that pops to mind immediately is like mountain biking.
Okay. Yeah.
Where like for the long, I know we've talked about this before on the pop, but like for the longest time, like growing up, like I remember, you know, we had like bikes growing up and, you know, I would have called them mountain bikes. Just because they had treads on the tire, and that's what Dad told us they were. So they were.
Yeah, they had gears.
Someone was like, "Yeah, do you guys mountain bike?" I'm like, "Yeah, of course. You know, all biking is mountain biking, basically, as far as I'm concerned."
Right. If you're riding a mountain bike down my street, I'm mountain biking.
I'm mountain biking. Yeah. Now, what it means. most kids' bikes just have treads because they don't need road bikes. That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah.
True. They're going to be riding off roads, and those are the harder ones to break. So
yeah.
So that's what you're doing. And, you know, I remember going to trails and, you know, sort of ride on like an easy trail or something. But then like our dear friend John of the GMA would, you know, invite us to go like mountain biking or something. And he would have gone like on real mountain bike trails before. And like John is like, not only would he have experience like actually doing the sport for real, but is just sort of like naturally gifted at most things athletic anyway, especially anything to do with like maintaining your balance in any way, which of course is like the core of riding your bike.
I was going to say he's like a human gyroscope. Like,
yeah.
Like I mean, it doesn't even occur to me that it would be possible to knock John over.
Right.
Like, and he's like built like us. He's not like some huge individual or something like that, like a towering like football player, yeah. You know, linebacker type person or something, like, you know. But yeah, he is just straight as can be,
right?
Like,
yeah,
like,
never,
you know, cannot be like toppled.
I know, we've never seen him lose his balance in his whole life.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, we would go and you'd like try and keep up with him, which would have been impossible even if you had gone 50 times before.
Right.
But in the meantime, you've never been before and you can't keep up. And now you're just sort of like struggling on these trails on your kid's quote unquote mountain bike, which has treads on the tire, but which is not a mountain bike.
Right.
It is just like a bike.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
And like, you know, he's got, you know, the suspension and the shocks and all the other things, which he doesn't need because he could have done it anyway. But like, and I remember just going on rides like that and feeling like this is terrible. Uh-huh. And it like turned this thing that I like thought I liked, like biking, into this like really scary thing. And then, like, consequently, I think, like, fast forward a few years, like, I think you started kind of going mountain biking with our friend Paul and our friend Trey some, and you guys all had bikes, and you'd be like, you got to get out there, you got to come with us. And like, I didn't really have money for a bike, but you could go rent one. And I remember renting one day, and it happened to be like some super nice bike because it was the only one they had. And they were like, normally it costs this much, but since it's the only one, we're not going to hold that against you. It's, you know, whatever the cheap version is. I was like, well, I just rented a Ferrari basically. You know, and it was like, everyone was like, oh, so good. But then it's like, just because you have the good bike doesn't necessarily matter either, because you're out on these trails and, you know, they just take some getting used to the technical skills and the endurance of it all and stuff. And so I did fine, but I remember like being like 15 minutes into the first ride and going down some like crazy hill that had this nice sharp turn at the bottom and just thinking like, how on earth are they doing it? Like, I have no idea. I have no bearings at all. Like, I'm gonna crash. This isn't fun. Like, bah! You know, just feeling so frustrated. Excuse me. And just like repeatedly I would have these like bad experiences like on mountain bikes, which like intrinsically I thought like I must like this, like I know, like I want to like it, I know it's fun, like I should be able to do it,
right?
And we got to around like COVID times or something, and like enough time had passed where like no one had done it. No one had was really on the trend. We were all sort of like starting basically from zero again. And you and me and Mike and our other friend Steven just started kind of going to get outside from the COVID. And
yeah, it was like a way to spend time together, like apart from each other too.
Yes. Yeah. Like, you know, doing the responsible social distancing. And it was like, finally I'd had like enough experiences, like sort of logged away in my brain, and like a bike that fit. And I was with people who were like sort of at my level, maybe a little more experience. And it was just like, it all clicked. And it was like, not, and I think we'd also gotten like the Peloton at the house. So I had been doing a lot of the rides. So like even just physically, my body was like prepared for biking.
Yeah. Like a little bit more like strength. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, I historically have not enjoyed this, but like I'm going out there, and we really just like, and then we really got into it. And then I felt like, it was so much fun. And like, I was able to like, excel at it and like look forward to it and, all that. And now it's like, it's like one of my favorite things to do now.
So. Now, was there any part of you though, that like through the process of expanding on this aspect of your life, like did it give you any more confidence that like, you know, if you were to go and try some other hobby or endeavor or something that might seem intimidating, that you might be able to excel at that in a way that like you've normally shielded yourself from a little bit? Like, you know, it's almost like, for example, I think when I first like ate sushi for the first time, it was like, and enjoyed it, like to the point where I was like, well, I want to go back and have that again. It was like, all I had done was eaten like the most basic, like tuna roll that there was.
You know,
it was three ingredients. It was the like the seaweed wrap, the rice, and a small piece of like raw tuna.
Right.
But like all of a sudden it sort of like planted this idea in my head that it was like, hey, you're an adventurous eater. You can eat other adventurous things too. Maybe you should get like all the toppings on the hamburger next time you order one at the drive-thru. It's like,
maybe you'll
turns
try
out
it.
I don't mind if there's pickles and mayonnaise and onions and everything.
I do remember that about eating at some point being like, maybe I will. We were at Famous A's, which was a long time like establishment in the Roanoke area.
It was indeed.
Which just seems like they just keep getting shut down now.
Yeah.
Don't know what happened. Real bummer. Loved Famous A's. But I remember being there with one of my friends once and like, you know, my entire life I'd only ever ordered just off the kids menu because we'd go there with mom and dad and they'd say, what do you want of these three things? And be like, yeah, I don't know.
Right.
That. And I couldn't even tell you, but like we were there and one of my buddies ordered a roast beef and cheese and I was like, wait, off like the menu or whatever.
The bacon menu?
I know. And I was like, okay.
The mom and dad menu?
Yeah, the mom, like, okay. And I remember the next time going, I was like, well, maybe I'll try ordering off the big menu. And I got like a turkey club and it was so good and I loved it. And it was just like, oh my gosh, this was like the best. And I remember, I think I that continued to be part of my Famous A's order for a very long time. But it was exciting every time you went somewhere to try stuff and be like, well, what if I do get all the stuff on the hamburger? You're right. Like, or what if I just keep, you know, what other things could I do? And it was like this, it opened up so many doors food wise.
Yes. It like broadens your horizons in such a massive way. Cause I had the same thing with, So same guy, Trey, that we were riding bikes with back in the day. I remember I had helped him dig a koi pond in his backyard,
yeah,
which we did by hand, and took like just many, many hours. I was having like the whole like holes experience where I was like, I think I'm getting like quietly like strong just from waking up every Saturday morning digging a hole for a long time. But as a thank you, him and his wife very graciously were like, well, we'd like to take you out to eat. Like, would you like to come and check out this Indian restaurant with us? And it was the exact same thing where I was very much like, I don't know. Like, is there anywhere else that we could go? Like, I don't know if I would like Indian. And they're like, no, trust me. Like, you're going to love it. Like, you know, we'll show you like what to get. And I was like, okay. You know, and I think it was one of those things like where if I wasn't in that situation and had somebody sort of like taking me outside of my comfort zone, or if it was even people I was more comfortable with just saying no to, I would have.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, no, I don't think that's what I want, you know, to do. Like,
right.
Like, I don't want to go like somewhere. I don't know if I like the food. And so, you know, like I get there and I order the chicken tikka masala, which is like the, I have no idea whether or not this comparison actually tracks or if it just happens to be the case that it was the first thing I ever had at an Indian restaurant. Mm-hmm. But it was, like, to me, I would compare it to like the General Tso's chicken of like if you order Chinese, like I would put them in similar columns of like, chances are this is like the first dish you tried when trying this kind of cuisine.
I know what you mean. Like, it's probably like the most popular dish on each menu.
Yes. Yeah.
I would say probably the only, I don't think General Tso's is like an actual Chinese, like the way we enjoy it is like an actual Chinese person would enjoy it.
I think that is correct.
Whereas I think like chicken tikka masala you order at the Indian shop here in Roanoke probably is
like fairly authentic.
Fairly authentic.
Yeah. I think that could be true. Yeah. And I couldn't say that I personally know enough about either of those areas.
I would agree.
To speak with confidence, but I think that you're right in that assessment. But so the interesting thing to me though, is it's exactly the same as sushi where it was all of a sudden it was like, no, I like Indian food. Like this is like one of my, like I love going here because I like the tikka masala.
You know? Right.
So it's like, it opens up this like new kinds of restaurants where I can go to, most of which I'm going to order the same dish. But then as time goes on and you go to the restaurant enough times, it's like, you know what? I do really like this. Let me try something else on the menu.
Yeah.
Let me try a different thing. And then you're like, man, turns out I really like all, like this whole flavor profile is good.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think you need like your foot in the door in order to, you know, again, going back to that, like the idea of like the bubble, your comfort zone, like around you. It's like, you got to figure out how to move it back, like in little like incremental things, knowing like it doesn't need to be all at once.
Yeah.
And then the more different places you go and the more different things you try, the more it then is sort of like, well, now I want to go try like that other restaurant that like I hadn't heard of that kind of cuisine before, but I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
And I think that can definitely be just like a, like kind of like the like there's that Jim Carrey movie, like Yes Man. Like,
yes.
Sometimes like it seems like a very extreme way to live your life, like just basically saying yes to everything. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I feel like I want to embrace that way of living like that much more.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think that like, I will get like so nervous about trying something new for the first time that like I'll have pushed my boundaries in a whole bunch of different ways, and I'm sort of like, okay, I'm comfortable here. I don't want to push my boundaries in any new ways. But then sometimes I do, and I learn a new thing. And like when I learn that new thing, it's like, oh my gosh, now the world is like my oyster.
Right.
Now I can do everything.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
And so it's like sometimes you almost gotta like feed that like thing inside of you so that it can keep growing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like keep trying. And then trying.
Right. Yeah. Keep pushing the boundaries. I know. Yeah. I think for food, I think I'm pretty open about like everything. Like, I don't think people would be like, oh, we're going to this kind of place. And I'd be like, well, I've never had that before. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know. No, you are good about this. I do not think you have quite the same level of like worry. But then sometimes I think when I know other people in my life who do have some of these walls up, I do think sometimes I'm like, let me encourage you, because I feel like if I can get you to try it for the first time,
you'll like it.
I do think you'll like it because I think I was right where you were. Like, I wasn't open-minded and then I was surprised.
Right.
You know, and that can be like the best experience too.
Man, I don't know what about this conversation is making me think about doing like the giant water slides. Like, oh, are you going to like push your boundaries on it?
The like, giant, like you mean like going to like a water park?
Yeah.
Where they've
doing
got like
doing like the Daredevil drop at like Emerald Point or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
one.
In my mind, like I've done it so many, like I've done it. I've gone down the side like so many times. And like in my mind, when I'm imagining it, I'm like, there's no way anyone gets down that side without falling off. Like, even though I've done it, like I'm thinking about it, like my whole body's shaking. I'm like, it's impossible. Like, I've done it and I'm still afraid of it.
Would you be nervous to do it right now?
Yes.
Would you really?
Absolutely. Yes. I would be. I'm nervous every time I go to the top of that ride, even though I've done, like, sometimes I have to do it just to prove to myself that like you're being stupid. Like,
this is so interesting to me because I would not have guessed that. I would have thought that any like amusement park attraction type anything for you was just like a 100% green light, like no issues whatsoever.
You know what? For the most part, you're absolutely right. There's like no roller coasters I'm like afraid to go do or anything like that. But like this slide in particular, one, you have to walk up so many stairs to get to the top.
You do.
It is such an endeavor. So like you're nervous and then your leg, like you're sort of shaky and then your legs are like, you're up there and you're like, am I legs shaking because I'm nervous? Are they shaking because they're just tired of walking
right
up so many stairs? But then it's also like, it's not closed in, you know, it's like, it's open. It feels like if you leaned forward while you were while you were doing it, like you could just tumble off the side or something, which you cannot.
Right.
Like
right.
You couldn't even, the forces on your body are such that like, you're not leaning forward. Also, there'd be no reason to lean forward. Like, I don't even think you, like, you know, of course you're just going down and it's like, it can't be as steep as it feels. Cause no one's ever fallen off.
Right.
Like,
this is like one of those things though, like where they like tell you to cross your feet and you're like, well, what happens if my feet come uncrossed? You know, like it's like, if you're telling me to cross my feet, that means that my feet better darn be crossed.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
It's like, you'll be fine. Just cross your feet. And it's like,
Or
it's like, that feels like something that could easily be undone. What happens if it comes undone?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you'll be fine. It's like, well, then why'd you tell me to cross my feet?
I know. Yeah. So like, you got it. So like close. It's like they give you things to do so that you'll feel more comfortable about doing it. Like, cause there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
Like now I'm following the rules. Now I'm doing it the safe way. And it's like, yeah, you can pretty much go down any way you want. Well, probably not. I have no idea.
Let's not test it at all.
Yeah. But like, it's like one of those things. Like, I have done it. I've been in the park and done it over and over before. Like, I've had fun doing it, and like, like my memory of it is still like the fear.
Yes. Okay. Well, let me give you another example then, because I have another one of these that's just like all the others. But it's like, okay, so we did the Spartan race several years ago. I think back in 2018.
Yeah.
We made the rather courageous, in my opinion, decision to do a Super Carlin Brothers meetup and like a Spartan race in the same day.
Yeah.
And the idea was that like we could meet up with some people from the community, do the Spartan race, go shower off, make our way to the movie theater where we could then go and meet, you know, like all the people who came out
to be a part
of the thing.
Yeah.
It was probably one of the most exhausting days, you know,
ever.
Yep. But it was also just a huge amount of fun. But there was an interesting thing that happened because the Spartan race was something that like I had seen like, you know, through like social media and, you know, like all the other stuff, like advertisements, like delivered to me a bunch of times, which I think kind of logically made sense, especially given like where like my fitness endeavors were at that stage. Like it was, yeah, it was I was like the target market, like for this exact thing. And sure enough, I went and we did it in DC and I like loved it. I was like, this was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. And then what ended up happening was, I think possibly the next year, we did it in DC again.
Yes.
And like we went and we did the same Spartan race and then we waited at least one whole day.
Yeah, before doing the meetup.
The next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like that was even like one of these things where I was like, man, I really like Spartan races. But then in my head, I was like, you know, I only really want to do the DC one though, because that's the, that is the event that I know. And maybe some of the other ones are going to be like a lot harder because it's mostly flat up in DC. You're not like running up any mountainous hills or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, they do some of these like ski resorts where like you're talking about running up, you know, like a Black Diamond or something like super intense. And it's like, oh man, no, that's like, that's, that'll be so much. And so, but then, it, then the thing was like, I had made myself be adventurous enough to go and try the event, but then it was sort of like, well, now I just want to do the DC one. So then I was like, okay, challenge myself to do a different one. So I went to one, a different one in Virginia, in Arrington, Virginia. And I did it like as like a birthday gift to myself one year. And I just did it like solo.
Yeah.
But now what has happened is that like, when I look at the list of Spartan races, I'm like, okay, when's DC or Arrington? You know, it's like
you're not willing to like go outside the boundaries of that.
Yes, exactly. It's like, why am I so stuck inside of like doing the ones that like I know. So it's like, I feel like I have this like adventurous personality, but like to a point,
right?
You know? And it's like, I really have to like knock the walls down like three times before they're like ultimately like down for good. And I'm just sort of like, yeah, I've done like 10 of these in 10 different places. Like, you know, they're all difficult in their own ways, but you know,
right.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's that kind of awareness that I think is like, it's so difficult to like, to keep pushing, you know?
I do know what you mean. Like, it's reminding me, like, I'm trying to think of like a different example of like where it's even mountain biking. You know what? We can bring it back to that. Where it's like, if you were like, oh, you want to go mountain biking? It's like, do you like mountain biking? It's like, I love it. You know, absolutely want to do it. But like for the longest time, the place we would go was always Carvin's Cove.
Yeah, which is like a local trail system here.
Right. And there was like a series of like, you know, 10 or so trails that you just got like really used to riding or something. And then I remember like one weekend, someone being like, oh, well, it's probably a little too wet. So do you guys want to do like Mill Mountain instead? And be like, absolutely not. I don't want to do Mill Mountain. I don't know that one.
Yeah, right, right.
Like,
it's like,
sounds like no, sounds like not as much fun. First of all, I know where the star is. Okay. I know what Mill Mountain is. It's steep as all over there, man.
It is. Yep.
Like, I don't want to be biking up that. Like, this is going to be like terrible. You know, like where we're going is so perfect. There's no way that this is as good. And I would still stand by, I don't like riding on Mill nearly as much as going to the Cove.
It's pretty hard.
But it was like, I feel like that's sort of the same thing. It's like, oh, you like mountain biking? It's like, I like doing the trails I know
you're exactly right. Yeah, because like this is another one of those like where like you'll find yourself like traveling or whatever and it's like, hey, should we go and check out like the trail system here? It's like, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know, that's, it seems like it could be kind of intense.
Yeah, even like I'm thinking like fishing now, and it's someone's like, do you like fishing? It's like, well, I like being in Vermont and being on the boat and fishing on the Cove, you know. And it's like,
right,
but I'm not like, it's like, I do like fishing. We, you know, we went on the James River for a while. I know that one little stretch right there, and that's a lot of fun. I know what to expect out of that, but I'm not like, I'm also not like, I'm never like actively being like, we should try out new fishing holes, guys. We should be going to like, I just heard about this new hot spot on the new river. We should be trying to hit that up or something.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, it's like, I like recreating the thing I know in a way that's fun, but which is not to say that like, I wouldn't have fun doing the other things.
I know.
It's just like, I know how this one works.
Yeah, we're speaking the exact same language here.
Yeah.
This is definitely the I don't know why this is like so on my mind, because it again kind of reminds me of like the cruise or like some of those early like experiences going to Disney as an adult, like with Alice, where like I felt in both of those situations I was like, man, there's a lot to take in, you know, like I'm trying to learn like all the verbiage, all the strategies, like, you know, what does this place refer to? Is that in Magic Kingdom or is that an Animal Kingdom? Like, I don't even know. Like, who does fireworks at night, you know, like,
right,
where do you drink around the world? Like, you know, didn't know any of the information. And it's like, once you go and you like build this foundation, it's like, well, now it's fun to build on top of that foundation.
Exactly.
Maybe that's who we are. Maybe we're foundationalists. Yeah. We are people who like to go and learn how to do something and then learn how to expand on the thing that we already know how to do. But like, but like we want to continuously have each next thing that we do be growing on the thing that we had like laid the groundwork before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now I'm curious because then in the meantime, I feel like many of my friends, and I would have even probably counted you, like especially with the eating stuff in this regard, where it's like, I feel like they are all people who are extremely open to like brand new situations where it's like, hey, you say it's fun? Cool, I'll be there.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, gosh. It's like I'm even wondering now, like, I wonder if this is the reason that like me and these people make such good friendships.
Right.
Because like, I want to go and do the thing that like I am very familiar with and they are open to doing some new experience, which is the thing that I'm already familiar with.
Right.
You know? Cause yeah, that could be a thing. Okay.
Yours about the Spartan race is interesting. Cause it's like, to me, it's like, there's like the act of signing up for one, like there's no part of me that doesn't feel like I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I know. And I agree with that. Like, I think maybe it's almost like playing like Mario Kart for the first time. And like, you know, you go and you play like a tournament or what is it called? Like a Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And like the thought might be like, okay, like, you know, I came in like seventh overall the first time I ever played Mario Kart in a Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. And so then I played it again. It's like, okay, got third that time. It's like, okay. So I played it again. That time I got first, and, you know, but like only like one started or something.
Right.
You know, like, but then like, it's like, okay, now I want to play it to three star it. And it's like, I'm not really willing to move on until I've three starred the level.
Right.
You know, and it's like I can't tell if like maybe that's a piece of it where it's like, okay, I went somewhere new. I was brave once. I now got to experience like the whole new landscape. I know where to park. I know like what the course is going to look like. I know, you know, like they have like the bucket carry and the climbing rope in this one. But like we don't have the like the Atlas ball or something like that. You know, it's like my mind can like figure out like the ins and outs. It knows what to expect. It's like, now I want to go and do it again, like with the knowledge of everything that I learned the last time and like see if I can't do better there. Like, because I think in my mind, it's almost like if I have to go somewhere whole, like entirely new, then I'll have to like restart. You know, it's like, you know, I was working my way up on the leaderboard on the other one.
Oh, I see.
But if I go and like start somewhere new over here, then like I have to go at least once just to get the lay of the land before I can go back and actually like truly have fun with it. And then mm-hmm. I probably need like three more times after that to like actually be good at it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a piece of it.
I suppose. I can see what you mean. Yeah.
You know, it's like I never expect that I will be great at something my first try.
I see.
Or I'm almost certain I will always be better at it on my subsequent tries mm-hmm. than I was on my first.
Right.
So I think that there's like a lot of that for me. Like I want to be able to like really, really like build
mm-hmm.
and explore.
Okay. That makes sense.
So that's the thought. It's kind of late in the episode to do it, but do you want to do a quick transition?
Okay. Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me, it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paperclip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see, but you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Okay, so I wanted to do a transition for a very specific reason.
Okay.
It's because I was putting together, we're having a little conversation with Kat here in office prior to hopping on to record this particular episode. And so I was, the question is, because I feel like sometimes there is differences from people to people on how embarrassing something actually is.
Okay.
Like, you know, this is like one of those things where I feel like, if I were to go back in my life, there might be specific moments. And one of the examples that I'm certain I've given on the pot before, but like I felt like I experienced so many times in like my high school years, maybe a little bit of college, maybe less. But like, you know, it would be like the day that you like got like a new outfit and you went to school and you felt super confident. And you're like, man, I'm wearing like my new shoes and my new jeans. And I got this cool shirt, you know, that's like a popped collar or something like that, which I don't actually think I ever did a pop collar, but not the point. But then like, you know, you're like walking in the homeroom and you're like, feel like everybody's looking at you and you like go to sit down and the person next to you is like, hey, your fly's down. And yeah. you're like,
dang it.
No.
The end of me.
Like, you know, here I was I mean, it almost goes back to like what we were talking about a little bit earlier, which is like, it's like, I was so confident. Like I broadened my fashion horizons and I walked in and everybody was looking at me and then only to discover it was for this embarrassing reason instead.
Gasp.
And so sometimes I think what might happen though, is like in my mind, you know, it's like, oh no, it's like, oh, my fly was down. In a moment where I thought the reason everybody was looking at me was for a positive reason. But then like in my mind ever since then, somebody catching you with your fly down is arguably the most embarrassing thing. Like can and should be just utterly mortified. You know, it's like, oh, this is the worst. This is like the toilet paper on your, like stuck to your shoe when you walk out of the public restroom.
Right.
It's like, no, I can't believe this happened. But sometimes I think this is the type of thing like where like you'll tell other people and they're like, oh, good catch. Thanks. You know? And they're like so unfazed. And I'm like, is this something that I have like grown to believe is more embarrassing than it actually is?
Yes. Could be. This is like, I'm immediately thinking of like, if you have like some, like a green leaf in your teeth or something.
Ah, yes. You
know?
Yep.
And it's like, I've seen people where before and it's just like, I don't know if it's better for me to tell them. Cause if I tell them, will it be embarrassing that like I saw it, or will it be like, it, will it be like me saying like you should be embarrassed by this, or is it just like acknowledge, or would they be like happy that like I pointed it out, because like otherwise they have something green in their teeth,
right you know, it's like thank goodness it was only you that noticed.
Thank you for telling me, so I didn't go talk to another 100 people.
And and I suppose that's the type of thing like where it's like you don't really know what the worst case is here or something. Like, cause I do think a lot of times to be on the receiving end of that, I am usually embarrassed that I just didn't catch it myself first before anybody else did.
Right.
And so like I know that I've told this story before, but we had a talent manager like super, super early on when we started doing stuff. And he was in general, I think someone who was like kind of like a mean person.
He was aggressive.
Yeah. And so like there was, I remember like one instance where we were at like Playlist Live or something like that. And I had something in my nose. And I remember him being like, Ben, you got something in your nose. And it was like to his credit, he knew that like there are people there that like I was going to potentially see, potentially take pictures with, like, you know, like you're in like a somewhat public situation, you know, and it's like, if anything, probably part of his job is to be the person to like preemptively strike
on such a situation.
But also like when he told me, I remember just being like, well, that was rude.
You know, that's interesting.
And so that would be another one where it's like, how embarrassed are you if and when you have something like in your nose, in your teeth, you know, on your face, like whatever, you know, it's like the, like Hermione, like telling Ron, like, you've got debt.
Yeah. Did you know?
She sounds like she's being like maybe just a tad judgmental in that moment.
Yes.
So I had other examples of stuff like this, because one of the thing that brought up the conversation initially was, it seems like for whatever reason, the thing you can never get away with, regardless of who you are, regardless of the situation, is your voice cracking.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right about that.
This is like one of those things where it's like when we're shooting like a Super Carlin Brothers video, if you get through like an entire take and everything's perfect, but like your voice cracks on like the last word, it's like, you got to take that again.
That whole thing. It's my
like,
man,
we're not running that. Yeah. You know, like I know what all the comments will be, you know.
Voice cracking is such a funny one, because like I remember, like, you know, when you're 13 and going through puberty and it's happening like all the time,
yeah,
it is like, it just feels like, you know, the worst thing in the world. But like the further I get from it and like the more adult you are, it's just sort of like, no, you're right, it's society's job to call this out, you know what it's like. it's almost more like, it's like, oh, it's your turn to be made fun of for this.
It almost does feel like that. Yeah. Like we do like the if you go to like the fair or whatever and you like spin a wheel to like win like a keychain or something like that. And, but like, you know, somewhere on that thing is like winning like a cool prize, you know, it's like,
yeah.
You know, there's like 64 different options or whatever. It does feel like on any given moment, like the world is playing like a giant like spin wheel, and it's sort of like, and it landed on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's just like, I think it's just such a universal thing. And it's like, everyone agrees that like, it's just better if like to like laugh at it or something. It'd be easy to be listening to this and be like, no, it'd be better if we just didn't acknowledge it at all and just move past it. And it's like, I think the world collectively disagrees with you.
And it's like,
even
like,
as the person who is on the receiving end of the joke, whenever it happens, it's just like, I deserve this.
Yeah.
I do deserve this.
This is the moment.
This is the moment. You're right. My voice cracked and it was embarrassing for me. Please bring it on. Okay.
I know.
And now we're moving on. Like, I think you have to lead into it more than anything else. So I think, it's like this enigma embarrassment thing.
It's very specific, but it is also like one of those things where like, you know, you might have like your voice crack or whatever in some situation. And you're like, nobody's ever going to remember this. And I feel like for the most part,
that's true.
Yeah. But there is like one instance in particular, and I feel horrible telling this story, but it's also like one of those things where like, I couldn't even tell you the person or like who they looked like or anything like that. Like, don't know anything about them. But there was this really funny instance in college where Big Steve, who we talk about all the time, we were roommates, and we were going to buy something at Lowe's, and we had like asked one of the attendants while we were there, you know, like, do you know where it is? And he's like, yeah, let me show you. And it takes us like aisle 17 or whatever. We get there, and as he's going to walk away, he goes, holler if you need anything. And It was like the worst, yeah. You know, because it was like a high school kid who was like, you know, working there, whatever, and just showed us the thing. And, but I mean, like, to this day, like, me and Steven, like, if we're like,
we'll say,
like,
holler.
Yeah, we'll yeah. Find, holler if you need anything. And it's the worst because it's like, we're always, I mean, like, it stuck with us. We were with other people at the time, and it became this like gag all through like our senior year of college. And it was like this one moment that this one guy had where he was just like, probably went to the break room and was just like, just shake it off. It'll be fine. You know, it's like, surely they won't talk about it on a podcast like 15 years from now.
Yeah. I'm sure he forgot about it 10 seconds later.
Hopefully.
And, you know, I don't think even now, I don't think you're not making fun of him. You're just enjoying your joke with your friend.
And that is, yes, more than anything. It's like, we're definitely not thinking like, oh, yeah. This person, yeah. Like they should feel less about themselves because exactly. Their voice cracked exactly. Once, you know, all these years ago.
It sounds like he gifted you with a moment more than anything.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. Maybe that's it. I should express my outward gratitude towards this. So I had a list of other things that I was curious whether or not it was embarrassing for you to have these types of things happen.
Okay.
One of them is getting caught taking a selfie.
Oh, I mean, I don't think so. I think I'm not embarrassed by that.
Okay.
At all. But also to that end, like, if anyone were to call me out on it, it'd be like, I am a content creator for a living. So like, I have such an easy out to that one.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
It's like, I'm a little immune to that one, but at the same time, I sometimes have left work and I'll see like, you know, like a group of high schoolers out there, like clearly just like they found like what they think is a scenic spot and they are just posing, taking selfies or taking pictures of each other, clearly with the sole intent of these are going on Instagram later.
Yeah.
Like we dressed up, we went out to take pictures to post to social media. And like, I think there's like there, I've seen it several times, and like I feel like my brain has arrived at this like crossroads where like I know some people will look at the like those like these high schoolers and just decide like, wow, embarrassing, like, ugh, what is this generation coming to, like it's like I know people are driving past them and judging them in a negative way,
sure,
and to me I'm all, but then like and I was like, that's one road I could take. Excuse me, about to have my voice crack over here.
I'm gonna say, wow, embarrassing.
Oh, wow. But then I was like,
not really.
At the same rate though, like I'm looking at them and part of me is just like really impressed because like they're out there like just like with the confidence to go do it and like they want to do a thing and so they're doing it. And I'm like, you know what? Part of me just wants to be like, bravo. Look at you guys just out here doing the thing.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, cause if anything, you're taking the time to go out there and like express yourself through like whatever clothes you thought were like appropriate for the shoot.
Right.
You're also like taking the energy to like go and try to like have like, you know, take like a great photo,
right.
You know, which is like its own form of art.
Right. It's like you could interpret it as being very vain and maybe what they want is just a bunch of likes on Instagram, but like, at the same rate, like it took some courage to come out here and do it in public. And
yeah.
Like, it's the sort of thing that like, I know that me as a high schooler would have wanted to do and was too afraid to do. And these people are doing it. And I'm like, part of me is just like recognizes that as well. So personally, no, I'm not embarrassed to take a selfie, especially though in 2024, like I remember when like Instagram launched, if you posted a selfie, you almost had to like make a joke about it. Like, I was feeling a selfie today.
Yeah.
And it was like,
yeah.
Oh God, dude, it's just so cringy to post a selfie. And now it's like, if you're posting things that aren't you, I'm like, why even bother? Like, what do you think I'm following you for? Your food? No.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Selfie Saturday. Is that a thing? It seems like it could have been.
It does. It's like, we need an excuse to do this. Whoops.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I feel like there's also like throwback Thursday.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Where it's sort of like, hey, I get to post like an old cringy photo of myself, or hey, I get to post an old great photo of myself.
Exactly.
And it's like, you know what? Like I understand that this is like, you know, it's been a while. Maybe I don't look as cool as I did in this particular photo, but this is just a good opportunity for me to get to share something.
Let me remind you great. Guys how great I looked.
The other thing I want to say for taking a selfie is that I feel like the creation of the forward facing camera,
yeah.
I think has also made it like a lot more agreeable because you can do it in like fewer takes faster.
Oh, yeah.
But back in the day of like the flip phone where you had to like hold it out backwards and like take the picture of yourself and then like immediately turn it around and be like, oh no, that was terrible. And then do it again.
Yeah.
Like that whole scene, it's sort of like I feel like that made it like a lot more complicated. Plus it was less accepted during the period.
It was, yeah.
But that was
going on. It's way more mainstream now.
Yeah. The thing that always throws me still, and I've talked about it a million times, is I never really understood Snapchat. So like the frequency at which I see people like, you know, especially like when we're like out at the parks and stuff like that. And they'll just be like, you know, like they'll like hold their phone up and you could tell they're just like, and they like take a picture. Occasionally like I'll be like on the like a passenger on the seat behind them, you know, like on a ride or something. This happened on Splash Mountain like a few times, like on one trip. And so like in the background of every shot, I was just like, you know, I'm like,
oh my God, dude, there was, we were on, me and, so at our last trip to Disney World, at one point we all just sort of like broke and went a bunch of different ways. And me and Luke, Luke wanted to go ride the carousel. So we went and did that. And we're on the ride, we're sitting on the horses and he's on my left and there's this girl on my right. And I see her gearing up for a selfie. And I've got about like 1 second to make a decision. Like, am I going to photobomb this girl? And like in my brain was like, yes. And so I see her do it. I like time it perfectly. And I just go, whoo. She was holding up. She was holding like a piece with her finger. So I did that too. And she took the picture and she looked at her phone and she just busted out laughing so hard. Her like friend turns around. I was like, what? She's like, this guy just jumped in my picture.
That's amazing.
It
was,
I mean, it worked out so good because it could have gone so bad where she looked at it and was like, you know,
right. Yeah. Turn around like this guy.
Yeah. So glad that she's like, you know, I have to post this. And then she's like, here, can you tag yourself? And I was like, sure. And then she like looks at our account. And she's like, what? Are you an influencer? And I was like, what? To some people, I don't know.
I mean, just knock some dust off. Yeah. No big
deal. So that was a funny thing anyway. So photobombing pro.
Okay. Yeah. I love it. So a pro photobomb.
Oh yeah.
Always. Hilarious. Always. That's a good one. Okay. Let's see here. Another one that that I feel like this is, I feel like I don't find this to be that embarrassing, but I don't tend to laugh at people when they fall anyway.
Yeah.
So the next one is just tripping.
Tripping?
So yeah, like, you know, like let's say they're like on like an uneven sidewalk and somebody's just walking by themselves down the street and catch their toe on the uneven sidewalk and just sort of like take a stumble. And then you have to like sort of like look around like, did anybody just see me almost eat it? Embarrassing or no?
I don't think embarrassing, but because for me, if this happens for me, the emotion that takes over isn't embarrassment, it's anger normally.
So you're mad at like the sidewalk for being there?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I am just like, I have experienced, like there was a time in my adulthood where like I bent over to pick something up and I just like on the act of standing up, like hit my head on, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like a door, an open cabinet or something. And it was just like, I can go back to it and it's happened, you know, since then or whatever, but it was like the anger that erupted out of me in that moment. It was like having an out of body experience.
Yeah.
You know? It was just like, I am like, and it's like intrinsically, I know it's like the pain's not that bad. Like 3 seconds later, most of it has subsided.
Right.
You know, and like the, you know, like I know like within 10 minutes, you're going to be fine, dude. Like whatever. But like the act of just being struck in the head unexpectedly, just like the effect it had on like my biology was like anger.
It's it's like you had like a fight or flight and your body was like, all right, let's go.
Who wants to fight cabinet door? You know, let's go.
Yeah.
And it was just like, why is this happening? Like I need to like, I'm like, there's no reason for it. You know,
that's the problem is that if you don't have a way to direct this particular piece of energy, then it's so like, I think that can be the part of it that can make it so infuriating because you don't know. It's like all of a sudden you feel an emotion and it's like, if Inside Out has taught me anything, you're supposed to let yourself feel those emotions.
Oh, yeah.
However, it's like, where to?
I know.
You know, like, where do I go with this? But so hilariously, I did see this exact same thing on the cruise where we were out one night, Alice and I, and there was like a party going on and like all the decks and stuff like that. And we watched this guy just sort of like, he was like walking backwards, I think going to like take a photo of somebody. And in the process of doing so, there was like a tiered deck system that during the daylight is incredibly obvious. Like you never miss it.
Yeah.
But he was sort of like walking backwards. There's a lot of stuff going on, you know, like whatever. And he trips backwards and basically it takes, like, he almost falls, but doesn't. And the thing that I found most interesting was exactly what you almost just described, where it was like, he like put his hands in the air and he's like looking around. And he's just like clearly furious. And yeah. I'm like, but sir, who are you mad at?
Exactly.
Like, you know, are you like right now in your head, are you like, the engineers of this boat, they could have thought this through.
Right,
you know,
it's like, yeah. Like, it's like the like, injustice that all I was doing was walking and now I'm in pain or
yes,
something.
Yes. Yeah. But to be fair, I did not find it like embarrassing. Like I did not read it in the same way, like as like talking about like, the voice cracking where I was like, oh God, that was embarrassing for him. I was like, oh, it sucks. Like, you know, I know what it's like to trip. I've been there. Like, it's not fun to trip. So, you know, but I don't know why, like my voice is also cracked and I still find it like I recognize that it might be embarrassing for somebody when they still experience that particular emotion. So tripping is not something that I find to be like that embarrassing because it's just sort of like everybody trips, but everybody also farts.
I think like sometimes it's like, if I were to watch someone fall and it like induced a laugh, it's probably not because I'm like, I don't think they should be embarrassed. It's just sort of like something funny happened.
Oh, sure. You know? So yeah, like then it's just like the goal is as the individual who has fallen to be a part of the joke.
Right. Yeah.
That is usually the best thing you can do is to laugh at yourself.
Almost always. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. okay. Let's see here. This was a term that Kat also introduced us to as we were having this discussion, which was a phone fart, which I mostly just thought was a hilarious like term that I had never heard brought up before and possibly invented by Kat's brother. So possible shout out and credit to him. But the idea here would basically be like you open your phone in a public space and whatever you were like watching previously, like the volume is turned up on.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like, oh goodness. Okay. Let me close that real quick.
Yep,
So that was one that I thought could be kind of like an interesting one. Like, do you ever have this happen? Yeah, I suppose even if it's like not an audible sound, but if you're like in line at a coffee shop or something and like you open up your Instagram and it's like tabloid gossip news from like a Kardashian something, you know, it's like, let me just go ahead and back out of that.
Hold on.
Sports are cool, aren't they? Yeah, man. Brett Favre, he doesn't play anymore. No. Okay. I was trying to play this off. But no, that would be like a non-audible version of this exact same thing would be like opening your phone to like the last thing you were, like scrolling on or whatever and it being something of modest embarrassment to where you're like, well, yeah, let me just close that out.
Yeah. There, I do sometimes have that. Like we've gone to like enough of these creator events or whatever that like you meet some of the other people and you talk to them and you just sort of like follow them because it's, you know, oh, what's your account? I'll follow you or whatever.
So you're just sort of like keeping
up with like a bunch of different people now that you sort of know. And it's like, yeah, we're all sort of friends.
You're keeping up with who?
What?
Keeping up with.
Oh, the Kardashians. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. We haven't met them.
Yeah. But like they might do anything at all. So like I know I follow someone and like they do a lot. I think they do a lot of like, you know, sexy shoots, as it were.
Sure.
And it's like I'm like sometimes, you know, you open up your app and it's like they're at the top one. And you're like, I'm not, you know.
It's like, can I give you the story about how I know this person?
Exactly. Like, you know, like hold on.
Yeah.
It's like we're friends.
Yeah. I know.
Like,
I know them.
I know. Yeah. It's like if anyone just saw it, it looked like, oh, I see what kind of stuff you follow. And it's like, no, you really don't. You really don't.
No, it's an outlier.
It's an outlier. That's always embarrassing. Like, ooh, okay. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Let me see here. Maybe. Okay. Hang on. Okay. Here's one that I think would be potentially interesting to hear your thoughts on is seeing a person who you know in a professional capacity in some kind of unprofessional manner or environment.
Okay.
So like I know, and this is like one of those like where back in my early like aquarium days, I think that like a way that I tried to it's not that they weren't clients, which is the term that I'm about to use. But like, I think that I would be using the term client in the same way that like a lawyer who has a client refers to their client.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is someone who I clean their aquarium for them. Right. And so like the professional capacity is not like quite so elevated as it might be in other situations.
Yeah.
But like this might be like having an aquarium client and me being at a bar having a drink with my friends and running into this person who I am otherwise normally like very tidy, very presentable, very professional.
Right.
You know, that type of thing. And it's like, ooh, man, okay, you saw me very much out of the usual context.
Right.
Sorry about that. Or alternatively, this would be like maybe if you're like at the grocery store on like a Saturday or Sunday morning and you just ran out to grab milk and so you're in like sweatpants and slippers and you again run into somebody in a similar capacity where it's like you're seeing me in a way that you don't normally see me.
Right. Yeah. I know you see me on the internet and I'm lively and clearly I'm just getting, you know, milk for my kids right now, so
yeah,
I'm not really awake yet.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Still got like the sleepies in your eyes.
Yeah. I know, like, at least my I have not actually run into them in the wild ever, but like my therapist at the moment, this was one of the first things, like, she went over with me. She's like, just, you know, it's a small city, so sometimes people see each other. And so like, she's just like, up front, if I see you in the wild, I will pretend not to know you. You're like, if you want to come talk to me, I will then engage you as much as you want.
Okay.
But I will let you take the lead on it.
Yes.
Because it is like a, you know, a somewhat confidential setting.
Right. Yeah. I have this exact same thing with mine where once upon a time I ran into her or didn't even actually run into her, but saw her with her family at Go Fest, mm-hmm. where we do like the live like popcorn culture, you know, that whole thing. And it was like one of those things where I asked her at my next session. And I was like, I saw you out in the wild. Should I have said hi? And she was like, of course you should have said hi. And I was like, oh, that's okay. That's a good point.
I know what we're talking about today.
When you say, of course you should have said hi. It did seem obvious now,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't then.
Yeah.
So anyway, but so occasionally I suppose that also happens where you then like see like somebody, like, you know, when you're a kid and you go to kindergarten, you think your teacher like lives at the school and then like you see them at the grocery store and you're like, what are you doing here?
Weird.
Aren't you supposed to be at school?
Yeah. What kind of life do you have outside of school, lady?
Right. It's like I only ever know you in this place.
Mm-hmm.
Or alternatively, I ran into the woman who cuts my hair at like the grocery store as well. Apparently the place where I run into everybody. But that was like one of those where it was like, I could even tell that like, she was like, I am not the person who is cutting your hair right now. And while you are the person who is cutting my hair, I am extremely interested in everything you have to say. And like very attentive and like, you know, it's all about like us having this like back and forth dialogue. Instead, this was much more like, oh, hey, I'm like, you know,
see ya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am not working right now.
Right. I think this used to happen sometimes with like, people at the gym where there'd be like, you know, like maybe five of six of us total who are at the gym or something. And you see them and like while you're there and while you're lifting, it's like, yeah, we all sort of know each other. We have this like one thing we talk about, you know, that we do together. And you are like encouraging of each other, like while you're there, like, yeah, do the thing, lift the weights or whatever.
Right.
But then it's like, if you run into those people out in the real world, it'd be like, Hey, you know, I could talk to you for an hour in the morning or, you know, like, oh, good. I'll see ya. You know,
right. Hey, when's the next gym class?
I only know you inside of this.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Maybe it's just another one of those areas where it's like, again, if you can broaden the horizons a little bit and like, kind of like know them in different capacities, then like maybe it opens up a whole new world.
Yeah. Could be.
All right. Anyway, there we go, guys. As ever, if you have any feedback to the show, if you've ever had one of these encounters before yourself in the past, be sure to send me over all of your thoughts to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. I do love reading all of your emails. Also, if you'd like to support the show, we are, once again, we have a brand new piece of quarterly merch that is going to be available for the first quarter of 2024. We are doing a 5-pin pack of enamel pins, all of which are going to be custom designed by Isabel. Bell, who is the new popcorn culture editor and also happens to be just an absolutely amazing illustrator. We've seen all of the work that she has like put into it so far. It looks really, really cool. They're all going to be like very fun and unique and different. So I feel like we've been on such a pin kick lately. We felt like what better than to like sort of inject some fun new collectible popcorn culture pins into the world. So if you'd like to check those out, you can do so by heading on over to patreon.com/popcornculture and selecting the quarterly merch tier. Link to that in the description or all of the show notes down below. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.